Welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. We're a church in Manchester who love Jesus, each other, and our city. Catch up on this week's message and more.
So I've loved journeying through these parables the last few weeks. It's been great, and it feels so important because, like we said at the very first week, you know, when Jesus bursts onto the scene in the Gospels, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Everything he does, everything he talks about, everything he's demonstrating, everything he's teaching, all his activity, it's all about showing that the kingdom is here. It's at hand. It's available. It's ready. And there's an invitation, as it says in that video, for every single one of us to see Jesus, to hear what he says, and to respond. And the big question is, where are we going to put our allegiance? Where are we going to put our trust? Where are we going to put our faith? Is it in the things of the world? Is it in the things of the church? Is it in the things of our customs, our culture? Is it in the things of our personalities and preferences? Or is it in the person of Jesus? And more than just belief, more than just, oh, I recognize that Jesus was there and he was real, but do we actually put trust, put weight, put our faith in who he is? That is the invitation that Jesus gave to everyone. And it's one that we all need to respond to. And it's been wonderful to think a little bit about that in the context of parables, because obviously there's loads of different things that are going on, but Jesus used these little stories called parables to kind of surprise us, to engage our imaginations, to shift our perspectives. But ultimately, it has been all about, so what? What's the response? What are you going to do now? It's not necessarily a nice, kind of nice, easy package. Like, it's been interesting to even, you know, John mentioned it last week, how one week we're saying don't bury stuff in the field, the next we're saying do it. And there's lots of different things going on. But the big question for all of us is what does it mean? What kind of response are we going to get? What kind of, what difference is going to happen? So I wonder if, just by way of actually a bit of straw poll, who has been here for at least one parable thing so far? Great, this is great. So it means now we're just going to take a little moment to just turn to the person next to you. So even if you didn't put your hand up, hopefully you're sitting next to someone who did. And I would love it if we just took a couple of minutes, like think back through. Can you find one thing that you've heard in the last few weeks that's really stood out to you? Maybe something that surprised you, maybe something that's challenged your perspective, or maybe something actually that has been quite significant and you've been like, oh, I've really needed to respond to that and it looks like this. So let's just take a minute. No wrong answers, it's absolutely fine. Make something up if you need to. But it'd be great just to hear what's God been speaking to you about the last few weeks through this series. Hopefully heard some good stuff. Would love it. Is it like one or two people? Steve just wants to share a little bit of what God was talking to him about. Is there anyone else that would want to come up? Did you hear anything good that you want to shove someone up out of a seat? Like, go and say that. Just come join in the queue. We'd love to hear from a couple of people. But Steve, why don't you go for it? Yeah.
What it is, it's challenging me about my parents. And I lost my mum and dad. I lost my mum when I was a baby. And I lost my dad about 1992. And he's challenging me on that to say, remember. And that's up. And I'm going to challenge him on that to know a bit more about that. So that's it, really. Okay.
Steve, a clap. I'm sure it'd be great if a couple of people go pray with you afterwards, Steve. That'd be amazing. Did anyone else want to share anything? Anything come up that you thought, oh yeah, this is worthy of announcement? Or great. Well, I'm sure it was all wonderful. So today we're going to do a couple of things that will hopefully come together at the end and make sense. If not, that's fine. And we're going to start in a parable and then we're going to get to Palm Sunday. So we're going to start with Matthew 13. So it should come up on the screen. And we've heard a little bit of this already. Corinne preached on verse 33, which is amazing. If you haven't watched that yet, make sure you go back and check it out. But let's read out Matthew 13, 31 to 33. The mustard seed and the leaven. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds,
But when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. And so focusing mainly on the mustard seed bit, but it's in many ways like quite simple. It's just a couple of sentences. And it's this idea that the kingdom is like this small little thing that actually becomes something much bigger. And it's interesting, like the fact that it talks about the seed being planted and a tree, like that's obviously a very external thing. Like a tree comes up out of the ground. It talks about how the birds will come and nest in it, and it will be a blessing, and it is this external thing. And then literally the sentence after, Jesus is like, it's also like yeast. It's this very internal thing that kind of they get in. And actually, you know, when Alex was doing his wonderful mixing, which I wonder if you've been practicing that a little bit, Alex, no. But like how it just can't separate it out at all. And so it's this, again, it's this, you know, there's so much complexity to what the kingdom is like. But I guess it's this, both of them, it's this big spread. Stephen Backhouse uses the word pervasive. It's like it kind of, the kingdom just goes on and gets everywhere and gets mixed in, and it's part of everything. And it's just this idea that you ultimately, like, it's going to be all things. You know, when we read in Revelation, don't we, that God's making all things new. Eventually, everything will be part of his kingdom. Everything will be as he intended it to be. You know, that's one of the definitions of the kingdom we looked at early on, wasn't it? Where people say yes to God, where things are as God wants them to be. And it's so it's really exciting to read this kind of passage, I think. The idea that there's something so small could actually be so big and have such a big impact and bring so much blessing, you know, to every part of the loaf, to all the birds in the air. It's this thing that brings so much life and goodness. And yeah, I think it is exciting, and it appeals to our desire for impact, doesn't it? Like, love the idea that put in a little and get out a lot. That feels really cool, doesn't it? Like, we're sort of, in many ways, in most of our life, we're sort of constantly looking for that. But I just think there's something about that maybe God want us to talk to us about today. But I think the thing I wanted to kind of highlight with both the yeast and with the mustard seed is this idea that when it comes to the kingdom, like, God's not limited by what makes sense. Like, actually, there can be a disproportionate impact, that this seemingly tiny little seed could make this giant tree, that this little bit of yeast could make a whole loaf rise. And so I just kind of wanted to think a little bit about what that means, that sense of a disproportionate impact. And, you know, even this morning we've talked a little bit about the abundance of the kingdom and just how there's no limit, there's no lack. And so it's all those kind of ideas. And so it feels like with the kingdom coming, it feels like something's going on. It feels exciting to me about the opportunity to get involved with it, that actually there might be something that God's up to that we can join in. And so the question I want you to hold on to, which we'll come back around to in a little bit, is how? How does this all work? How does a small little seed become a big tree? And I genuinely don't know the biology of that, so we're not going to get into it. But how does God have a disproportionate impact? What does that look like, and what might he be asking us a little bit about this morning? So just park that to one side for a minute. Question for the room. What is the most important thing in any kingdom? Well done, top marks. I'll tell Mum, she'll give you an Easter egg next week. The most important thing in any kingdom is the king. Like, it just doesn't exist without it. So we're going to spend the rest of this morning focusing in particular on Jesus, and in particular what it means that he's the king and what that looks like, because it's Palm Sunday. I called my mum up on Friday. I was like, have you got any spare little things that we can come and wave? I was like, I really miss those. Sadly, she didn't. Sadly, I left it too late to get any, but maybe next year we'll get the little palm crosses and we can do it properly. But Palm Sunday is... it's a really significant day, and particularly when it comes to thinking about what does it mean that Jesus is king. So we're gonna listen to Mark 11, 1 to 11, and we're gonna do it audio visually. So there's a budget version of The Chosen, which I found on YouTube. Let's watch it together.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you do this, say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing? Untie that coat." They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let him go. When they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany at 12.
So this is the story of Jesus' triumphant entry. We often see it described as this, him coming, like his whole ministry had been pointed towards Jerusalem for a little while now, and this was the seeming culmination of this moment where actually he would come into this city, he would come into the sort of religious center of the Jewish universe, and actually be proclaimed as king, as Lord. You know, Hosanna, Hosanna, and praise him, praise him. And it's this amazing thing where Jesus is honored publicly. He's honored by the people, and he is recognized for who he is. And just like the parables, it's surprising and it's perspective shifting and it's challenging in the way he does it. For numerous reasons, but the most kind of obvious one is the idea that he came in on a donkey. You know, this humble mule. He's not riding in on a war horse. Like all the way through his ministry, he like resisted any opportunity when people would like look to put him forward for power, put him forward for just kind of political or social or religious kind of authority. He's not the kind of king that would ride in on a war horse. He's the kind of king that rides in on a donkey. And for everyone there, they would have automatically they would have gone straight back to the words of Zechariah, who was a prophet kind of a few hundred years beforehand, who wrote these words. Again, they should come up on the screen. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your strongholds, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double, for I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword." So there's this prophecy about a coming king. And as Jesus sits on the donkey and rides in, it's kind of, he's showing them that this is him. Like this coming king is Jesus. And we see what kind of king he's going to be. And it's the kind of king that that is, as far as I'm concerned, deserving of all our worship. You know, he's not a proud king. He's a humble king. He's actually not a malicious king. He's peaceful. Talks about the removing of weapons. And he's the king not just of a small place. He rules from sea to sea. Every part of the earth will be under his dominion. We read later in the New Testament that at his name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And he's the kind of king that sets prisoners free. you know, we've talked before about what that word gospel means. It's that idea that actually people proclaiming that the siege is over, the rightful king is here. And actually the reality is all of us have been prisoners. All of us have been trapped. We've been trapped in sin because all of us fall short of God's glory. And the amazing news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the rightful king who has come to break free those chains of bondage. So I just want to say to any single person in the room, if you're feeling unfree for whatever reason, if you're feeling trapped, if you're feeling like a prisoner of anything, like Jesus Christ has broken those chains. He is the ruler from sea to sea. He is above all things. And actually, as we recognize him as king, we recognize him as the ultimate authority. And actually, anything else, whether it's stuff that we've done or stuff that we've experienced, nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can hold us down. Nothing can restrict us and limit us anymore because of the freedom that we have in Jesus. And there is no better day than any day. But why not? Why not today? Why not on Palm Sunday? Why not come to him, whether for the first time or for the millionth time, and say, Jesus, I need to know you as king. I need to know the freedom. I need to know that the siege is over and the rightful king is here. And so we have the opportunity to be like the people that were waving the branches that Palm Sunday and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who's here, blessed is he. Jesus is here, he's with us. We honor him, we worship him. And I just want to encourage you to make that choice to do that today. But this is the start of Holy Week, and it's not the end. And actually, there's a phrase that Jesus himself uses when he says, the hour has not yet come. The hour has not yet come. And so we're going to go back to thinking about seeds a little bit again. So we're going to go to John 12, verse 20. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So that the hour that was coming isn't the triumphal entry. Actually, it's something else. And we come to understand that it is the cross. That actually the throne, the only throne that Jesus sits on, is where he's, it goes on later, if you look down in your Bible in the next little passage in John 12, talks about actually when he's lifted up. Actually, the moment when he is lifted up on the cross, that is the moment, that is the culmination, that is the high point. That is the moment where the Son of Man enters his glory. And it's really significant because I think so much of our world and so much of our faith, actually, we wouldn't see that as the high point. We would see something more like the triumphal entry as that's the bit, that's the culmination. Do you want to throw that picture up? This was just a wonderful time. This is how you do a parade, by the way. so often in life, kind of, we go through stuff, we do the thing, we win the trophy, we come back, and it's the celebration. And it's like, oh, it's the culmination, it's the honor, it's the glory, you did it. And in many ways, it feels a little bit like, I don't know, maybe Palm Sunday could have felt a little bit like that. Finally, Jesus is here. Yes, he's made it. We celebrate him, we honor him, we give him the glory, we give him all the praise that he's due. You know, the prophet that was without honor is now being seen for who he is. But actually, Jesus is like, this isn't the hour. It's going to look like something else. And it's kind of curious that actually this passage starts with, you know, some Greeks coming to Jesus. It's it's a bit ambiguous about what that could mean, but one suggestion which I really like is just it's this idea that it kind of representative of the non-Jewish world. Actually, people that are like, who is this guy that's just come in Jerusalem? What's this all about? These kind of learned men from a different culture, almost like representative of worldly wisdom and the right way of doing stuff, are paying attention now. Like, oh, Jesus, tell us a little bit about what's going on. And what Jesus says is the hour has come and it's going to look like a seed falling to the ground and dying. It's not going to look like Jurgen Klopp on his bus. It is only when the seed falls to the ground and dies that it can actually become plentiful. So that disproportionate impact we were thinking about before, that only comes on the other side of surrender. It only comes when there is that posture of letting go, of laying down, of releasing something. And Jesus is saying, actually, my kingship, my glorification, all the whole deal, it only works if I die, if I am the sacrifice. I'm sure the temptation would have been just to really lap it up. And actually, interestingly, like, the donkey's kind of, you know, it's a sort of, oh, you know, he is different. He's a different kind of ruler. He's not proud. He's not lording it over us. He's on a donkey. Wow, he's even coming on a donkey. And there's so many things about the kingdom and kingdom values and kingdom principles that are actually really, really appealing. You know, the world actually loves humility. Like, oh, we much prefer being around a humble person than a proud person, don't we? The world loves abundance and kindness and equality and healing and peace and all these wonderful things. Like, oh, yeah, that is awesome. Like, and, you know, the things that Jesus represents, actually people are hungry for because God's put those in our heart and actually they work. There's a reason why they're kingdom values, is because they're good. But ultimately, push will come to shove around surrender. Because probably that's the point where the world, rationality, sense would just say this far and no further. But actually, the gospel is foolishness. And so it's like, we can't have the kingdom without the king. And the essence of Jesus' kingship was surrender. That he was prepared to sacrifice himself, to lay himself down. So we need to be careful that we don't get sort of stuck in the shallow waters of the sort of the things that typify the kingdom. All those things I just mentioned and many more. We don't just get like, oh, we sort of enamored by those things, but think we can kind of do it on our own terms and do it on our own agendas and in our own ways and in the sort of ways that feel sensible and safe and respectable. Like actually, it's only the seed that falls to the ground and dies that will bear a plentiful harvest. And I think that's what I feel like God wants to challenge us with today. Like actually, as we recognize Jesus as King, as we welcome him, actually, we need to follow his example. It says there in verse 26, doesn't it? If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. Similarly, Romans 8 talks about we share in God's glory if we also share in his sufferings. And it's not like a sort of self-flagellation, self-punishment kind of thing. It's because this is what produces life. That actually when we let it, it's that sort of upside down shifting perspective, doesn't quite make sense idea that actually it's when you prepare to lose something that you truly have it. It's when you're like, I'm not the captain of my own ship. I'm prepared to release that to Jesus, that's when you'll find abundance. That's when you'll find fullness. That's when you'll find his will for you, which is even better. And so the call to follow him is the call to have that same posture of surrender, of letting go. You know, we've looked at it in Philippians 2 loads, that it's that amazing passage, you know, that Jesus, that of anyone, he was the person who had equality with God. But rather than do what everyone else who is in any kind of influence or has any opportunity tends to do, which is grasp it and pull it in and use it for your advantage, even really good advantage, even really good things. But rather than do that, he instead chose to empty himself, to limit himself, to pour himself out for the benefit of others. And actually, it was in that that he was glorified, and in that that actually God's kingdom comes. And so I think the challenge for us as well is to, even in the midst of kingdom principles, kingdom values, good things, humility, peace, equality, all that kind of stuff, still just ask God, is my hand like this? Or is it like this? Because if this hand is holding a seed, that's going to go nowhere. But if this hand is holding a seed, it can fall into the ground, it can die, and it can produce a plentiful harvest. So I feel like God's just calling us to surrender. So let's pray. I don't have anything else to say. Why don't we stand up, if that's okay. Worship team, it would be great to spend a bit more time, if that'd be awesome. Jesus, I thank you that you are the King. We honor you, Lord. We agree that you are worthy of all praise. But Father, I thank you that praise was not your goal. That actually you knew your Father's will, which was to surrender, was to be that seed that falls into the ground and produces a plentiful harvest. Thank you that we know life because of your death. And Jesus, I pray that across this room, that you would bring life, Father, where there has been death. Jesus, thank you that your resurrection power lives in every single one who would say yes to you. And Father, I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to actually to consider ourselves, to ask you to come and search our hearts. And Father, show us where it is that actually we're still holding on, where we're still trying to have the kingdom, but maybe aren't releasing ourselves to the King. And Father, I just ask for your grace and for your kindness, that we would know how to let go. Trusting, Lord, that as we do, we find fullness, we find abundance, we find joy, we find peace, we find all those things that characterize your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, for where we have sought kind of watered down versions, more palatable version. Just a little bit here, but no further. And I pray, God, just in the coming days, Lord, as we reflect privately together on what this week represents, as we reflect on your journey to the cross, God, would we just know the deep life-altering joy that comes with your victory, that death wasn't the end. So just come and move amongst us, God, I pray, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed today's message. If you want to find out more, head to our website, findlife.co.uk, or follow us on Instagram. God bless.